Morning, everyone. It is so great to see you all. Well, I wish I could see you. I can't, but I'm trusting that there's a few of you out there, and I'm really longing for the day that we can see each other again. So just in case you don't know, I'm Ali. I'm the worship minister here at St Mary's. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at the subject of worship, and particularly worshiping from home. Now, I wonder how you all are. Like, I really wonder how you all are. And I'm realising that more and more in this time, this thing is different for all of us, isn't it? So there's been many suggestions, like on the news, that this thing, sort of this coronavirus, puts us all on the same page. Everyone's on the same footing with this. The virus doesn't discriminate. Whilst we know that, everyone is responding in different ways. So I've sort of gone on a bit of a journey with this. So myself, I've gone from thinking that everyone's the same to the fact that there's almost like two camps. There's people that maybe for whatever reason, maybe work-related, are their days might look a little bit quieter at the moment. Days might look a little bit freer. You might have a little bit more time to yourself. But I know for some people that is really boring and people are sort of going a bit nuts with that. And then there are other people whose days feel even fuller right now. They're trying to balance the homeschooling thing, the working from home thing, the caring from others. It's full on, isn't it? It's really difficult. And I know that separation of those two things is such a mass generalisation. Please forgive my ignorance with that. It's real stereotyping, isn't it? And then I realised that the more people I speak to about this, the more I understand that everybody's situation is unique. No two people are feeling exactly the same way about this. Our situations are different, our sets of circumstances align in a different way, and the way we feel emotionally towards that is all different. We're all different. We're all experiencing this in a different way. This thing is shaking us all in different ways. But God is the same. He is the same. He's the same. He's always been. He's the author of creation. Revelation says that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He never changes. His goodness never ends. His love for us never fails. Psalm 139 tells us, doesn't it, about how he made us. He knew every part of our being. He knit us together in our mother's wombs. And God still knows us now. He knows everything about us. The hairs on our heads, the thoughts in our minds, the words on our mouths before we even speak them. He knows us. God knows us and God loves us. So if we know him back, if we're following him, and we love him back, then you could say that we're in relationship with him. We are in relationship with God. And I want to start by saying that worship is our response to knowing him and choosing to follow him and living our lives for him. Worship is about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Our relationships with him are unique, aren't they? But he is the same. It's him who draws us together as family. He's the reason why we are church. That's why it can be special when we worship together with others. That's why it's special right now that there's a number of you gathered online, all looking at the same screen together right now. We're gathered not to watch me on the screen, absolutely not, but to listen and to meet with Jesus and to meet as a church, because he is the one that we have in common. So we're going to chat about worship. Now, a lot of people think, oh no, that means she's going to make us sing a lot. Well, sometimes singing is worship and sometimes singing is not worship. And not all worship is singing. Okay, let me say that again. So sometimes singing is worship, and sometimes singing is not worship, and not all worship is singing. So sometimes worship could be singing or dancing, putting our hands in the air, falling on our knees. It might be drawing or making things or writing or listening or saying particular words using liturgy. But equally, just because we're doing those things, that doesn't mean that we are worshiping. Not all worship is those things. I sound a bit cryptic, don't I? It's not just about the songs that we sing in church. That may be the how sometimes of how we worship. It might be the thing that helps us to worship. It might be the way that we're most used to worshiping. But it's not the basic meaning of what it is to worship. It might just be one of the modes of transport that our worship is carried on. But really, it's so much more. Worship is about the posture of our hearts and our lives towards God. Worship is about the posture of our hearts and our lives towards God. So because of that uniqueness, God created us all unique, isn't he clever? The uniqueness of our relationships with him. I can't really, it sounds like a cop-out, but I can't really give you a magic recipe for something to do that will always equal worship. We can all go through exactly the same set of actions, but it isn't a mathematical equation that means you're worshipping him more deeply. Do this, positioning yourself in this way, sing these songs, say these words, and you're worshipping. That's not the case. It's about your heart and about your relationship with him. So today, I don't want to just chat to you for half an hour or something. I thought it would be great for us to reflect together. So this week, I've asked a few people in our church to help me out by answering some questions about worship. I can tell you what I do, I can tell you what I think, but I know because we're all individuals, people find things helpful in different ways and think about things differently. So I thought we'd sort of open that up in order to help you reflect about where you're at with this worship thing. So I promise I did not prime any of these answers either. I had no idea what was coming in until I saw it. So the first thing I asked them is, what does worship mean for you? Let's watch what they say.
Worship is spending time with God, opening up your heart, your mind, your body, your soul to him. And as you spend time with him, being transformed into his likeness.
Being in God's presence and lifting his name on high and being immersed in him, taking time to listen to him and respond to him.
When I spend time in worship, I find that I'm drawn closer to God's heart and experience the intimacy of his presence and his deep, compassionate love for me. I also become increasingly aware of his greatness, his power, and his majesty.
Worship for me is about giving glory to God. It's about doing it with your brothers and sisters in your church community all together. And it's about doing so in a way that brings you closer to God.
Worship is all about worship. It's telling God that he's number one in my life, above and beyond all things. And also reminding myself at times that I might forget that he's number one in my life. And I can do this through the things I say, through the things I sing, and also through the stuff I listen to that reminds me, and also through what I do with my life. All of it reminds me that God is number one, and I'm telling God that he's the most important thing.
Worship for me is that moment when I pour out my love for God, an opportunity to say thank you to God for all that is good in the world.
Worship is expressing my love to God for how good, how great, and how loving he is.
So, weren't they wonderful responses? So, in recapping, worship is our response to God. It's making him king in our lives. We take time in our days to focus on him, to celebrate him, to adore him, to proclaim truths about him, to give him glory, honour and praise, because it's giving him what he is worthy of. How could we not look at him, look at the world around us, his beautiful creation? We are just praising him because it's what he deserves, not because he tells us to or he forces us to, but how could we not? It's our heart's response to him. And that can be done in so many ways. What we say, what we think, what we do, how we spend our time, our money, our attitude towards the things of daily life. Yeah, often we do sing and we use words or thoughts. And those things can be helping us to tell God why we're worshipping him. We say, God, you are good. God, you are faithful. God, you are holy. God, you are mighty. God, you are powerful. God, you are caring. But it's about him. It's about our relationship with him. Acknowledging who he is. He's the one on whom we base our lives. There are so many reasons why. You could say 10,000 reasons or 100 billion reasons if you're up to date with all your modern worship songs. And he's the saviour of the world. His majesty, his power, the grace that he has shown me and you, his love for us. Worship is just telling those things back to him, just as we would tell a loved one that we love them and why, and we'd pay them compliments and say, oh, thank you for doing this for me. So let's turn to the Bible. Have you got your Bible with you? When I was choosing a reading for today, I had quite a tough time deciding. So the Bible's got lots of different types of texts in it. It's got history and stories and letters, but it's got so much worship in it. And just because it's words on a page rather than songs that we sing, it's absolutely still worship. It's the first sort of recorded worship that we have written down, isn't it? Some of the passages are like letters to God, or they're poems about him or songs. If you want help learning how to worship, look in the book of Psalms, for instance. It's full of songs and poems to him. Things that are adoring and praising and so like beautifully joyful and happy. And also things where we're crying out to God with lament and with sadness and saying, how long, God, how long? You know, it's our feelings to God. It's our communication to God. It's our relationship with him. It's our heart posture to him. It displays that relationship between the psalmist and the Heavenly Father. But we're actually not going to read a psalm today, this morning, as our reading. We're going to hear Jenny Rayner is going to read us a passage now from Chronicles. So it's 1 Chronicles 16, starting at verse 23. Here's Jenny.
This morning's reading is from 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, and verses 23 to 36. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendour of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us. God, our Saviour, gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God, and amen, and praise the Lord indeed. So we're reflecting on worship in general, but how is this applicable, particularly right now in this time of coronavirus? How do we worship right now? Right, before we answer that, I want to talk about why we need to dig in, why we need to worship. One of the reasons why I think worship is so important at this time is that there's a lot that we are out of control of. We've lost control of so many things in our lives. I don't know about you, I feel like sometimes I'm quite a control freak. So there's a lot that we're struggling with, isn't there? Things that maybe we don't really have to think about that much, that sometimes, if we're lucky, we get to take for granted a little bit. There's things like jobs and houses and money and the news and our health and our loved ones that we're worried about. As the news keeps reminding us, we're in unprecedented times. These things are worrying for us. But we have mentioned already at St Mary's a few times this year that worship is the remedy for worry. Worship is the remedy for worry. So the passage that speaks about worship most clearly in the Bible that we often turn to is in Matthew 6. Jesus tells us not to worry here. And instead he says, look up at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Jesus is reminding us how the birds, and then he goes on to talk about the flowers and the grass, how all these things are provided for by God. And so we shouldn't worry. We need to trust in him daily. The passage that Jenny read for us, it said, proclaim his salvation day after day. We say the Lord's Prayer about our daily bread. Let's trust in him daily and only focus on the things of that day. But look up to the sky. We look up to the sky and we see the birds, and they remind us, what do they remind us of? They remind us that God provides. They remind us of who he is. We look up to the heavens and we focus our minds on God. We place him higher in our lives than our worries. These really important things that feel a little all-consuming right now, we place God higher, because all those things are shaking. All those things are on not solid ground, but God is faithful. He is true. He is always, he's the beginning and the end, isn't he? So we lift him high. We worship him instead of worrying. I don't know about you, but as Jenny was reading those words so beautifully for us, they're so uplifting, aren't they? So what did they say? Proclaim his salvation, declare his glory, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. The Lord made the heavens, the splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Wow, I feel so uplifted just saying those words. They raise God high extravagantly. It's gushing with joy and with celebration and adoration and the truth about who the Lord is. And as we lift him high, we ourselves feel uplifted. As we lift him high, we ourselves feel uplifted. We put him back as king. I don't think I've ever had a time of worship that has made me feel worse. I don't think I've ever had a time of worship that's made me feel more negative. I don't always go home skipping from church, or every time I listen to something or I worship God in my daily life, I don't always feel marvellous about everything. But if I look to him, that's a positive thing. Even when things are difficult, even when I feel like I've been distant from him, or even when things are really tough in life, it might make me want some more or want to feel closer to him. But I've never felt worse. It lifts me up. That worship remedies our worry, and that praise brings us perspective. And I think it's so important, especially now, that we keep that perspective that worship brings. So we're feeling out of control, our lives have been turned upside down one way or another. And the danger is that actually we start focusing solely on these things. We start focusing solely on the things of earth, the things that our money buys, and the things that we have right now, right here today. We're spending lots of time talking about these things. It's all over the news. There's nothing else in the news. It's just things about coronavirus. And the danger is it becomes really all-consuming. And those things can become so elevated in our minds that we almost risk unintentionally elevating them above God. But God hasn't changed. He hasn't moved. He is still king. He is still the author of the universe, the creator of all. He is the one in whom our salvation rests. He is God. Let's not worship the other things. Not like bowing down to them. We might not be intentionally doing that, but let's give God more airtime in our minds. Let's worship Jesus instead. I've been reading Psalm 46 every day this week. And it says, at the beginning of it actually, there's a phrase that talks about God being our ever-present help in times of trouble, ever present. He is always with us. He is always with us. And then later on, the famous verse, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in all the earth. God is still God. He is still good. Jesus is still the risen King. It was Easter just a couple of weeks ago. And Christ, the King of our lives. Let's make sure that he's the one that we worship. He's the one we put our trust in. Let's not get our worries down. Let's bring our perspective up. Worship changes those things. And worship helps us to take authority over the atmosphere in our home as well. Let's claim the promises that he has for us and live as people with joy and with hope and with trust in him. We have hope in him. Let's claim that and live that way instead. So the next question that I asked the guys was, what's changed about how you worship since the time of coronavirus? Let's see what they have to say.
Everything and nothing has changed, I think. So it's everything about the physical experience of a Sunday at church, but nothing about it being the same God that we still worship, that same God that we still worship together, just not physically in the same place. So I think it's really the difference between going to church and being church.
What has changed since the start of the coronavirus is I never liked background music on at home, any worship music. I think having lots of children, foster children, meant when people were out, I just wanted total peace and quiet. And now I really need to listen to worship music. It centres me, it stills me, and I use it at the start of my quiet time to, I feel like it's an entry into the presence of God. So I'm far using that far more than I ever did before, and I hope that that will continue.
Worship since coronavirus means that I can be first in school in the morning. I can pray for all of the 40 children and the teachers before they get here. I can walk around the school, I can sing, I can worship my Lord and praise him here in this place openly. And it's quite exciting, actually. Yeah.
Worship has changed beyond anything I've experienced since giving my life to Jesus. It's very much more individual rather than corporate, which I prefer as an extrovert. That's why I tend to use online resources.
I've always loved spending time in worship, and out of those times, I've found that God has led me to a place of intercession. However, since coronavirus, my times of worship have become much deeper, and I've found myself becoming even closer to God, the reality of his presence more acute, and I'm hearing his voice even more clearly.
I've had to learn how to worship on my own a bit more. A lot of worship used to take place, obviously, in a corporate setting, in church or at life groups, but obviously it's all now online, so using online resources a lot more, like YouTube and Spotify. It's a bit weird standing in my lounge singing on my own, but I know there's lots of other people doing the same as well, so that keeps me going, really.
When we're worshipping in church together, led by the worship band, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit is incredible. But it can be just as special when we're worshipping at home, whether we're worshipping by ourselves or with our families, because what we're doing is the same. We are putting God central, and that's what really matters.
Isn't that brilliant? So we know that nothing has changed, still the same God, but everything has changed in terms of how we practically worship together as a church on Sunday, hasn't it? So we're having to learn how to do this thing in a new way. And most of us are used to worshipping in church. We walk to that building and we see other people and we sit down in rows and we go through the actions of the service that someone or a few people at the front lead us in. And this is so different. And to be honest, most of us struggle with the change, don't we? So I don't know, you might be loving church right now. You might be at home in pyjamas with your feet up, with your lovely coffee and your bacon sandwich, or you might just be really struggling to engage, not with everyone else. So so much has changed, including how we do our worship. For me, I do really miss leading worship with the band and being able to see you all, to be able to see how you're engaging. And oh, it's such a privilege to be able to see God working in people's lives as they worship, as they enter into that space of relationship with them. But we can't do those things right now. But that doesn't mean that we're not still able to worship. Of course we are, because worship isn't really about what we do, but it's about the attitude of how we do it, the posture of our heart as we engage with God. It's Him we're worshiping. We're not worshiping the style of music or the choice of the hymn or the songs or the liturgy or how the chairs were or any of those things. We're worshiping God. Let's come with a heart ready to worship Him. We've got used to doing church in a certain way, but actually church is an opportunity for us to gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, our fellow believers. And we are doing that as we gather right now to be able to see that there are so many people commenting in the chat. We know that we are doing that. We are not physically with each other, and that aches, doesn't it? Our bodies ache to be with each other. But we are with each other. We know that it's Sunday and people all around the world are worshipping God. We are still the church and we are still worshipping together. But also worship is that real personal engagement between ourselves and God on that real individual level. It is special when we do it in church together and as a family, and there is such power when we together feel the Spirit move us. But sometimes we can do that on our own as well. We really can. Great to be encouraged by others. So let's listen to what some of the challenges and the joys are. Some of you might think, oh, I don't have a problem with this, I'm loving this. Or you might be thinking, oh my goodness, this is so hard. I just long to be with other people. There are real challenges and joys of learning how to worship at home together, aren't there? Together but separately. So let's hear from the guys again what are the challenges and joys of worshiping at home in your setting. Here we go.
We are certainly missing the band at church and we're missing all of our friends, but we're finding the joy. We're dancing around our living room with music loud, worshipping God, and we're just learning to appreciate everything that we have at the moment. We are truly blessed.
A joy has been top praise online with our new little ones and singing along with them. However, having seven people in the house of various ages has its challenges as well as its blessings. On sort of an individual basis, I found it more difficult to sing out loud on my own at home, but I'll persevere with that.
The other day I came back from a run and my three children went to the piano, all playing and singing together. And I just said, oh, hey, what are you up to? And my five-year-old really matter-of-factly and naturally said to me, oh, we've just made up a song about Jesus. I was awestruck. It was such a special moment. It wasn't a musical masterpiece, but to me it was just the most beautiful song ever.
Main challenge for me is having two young children here at home with me when I'm worshipping together with my family, and keeping them entertained is a real struggle. And sometimes they're not focused on what's going on the screen. Other times it can be a real joy because we're all together and we're all in it and we're all enjoying it together as a family, so that can be great too.
The challenges of worshipping on my own is keeping motivated and not getting distracted. It can be difficult sometimes, you know, when you're live streaming church on a Sunday morning thinking, oh, I could do some washing up or some tidying at the same time, but actually focusing on God. Joys though, I'd say learning to take more responsibility for my worship and how I do it, and really rethinking why we do it as well. It's been good for me to think about and put into practice again in my own life.
It's an absolute joy to shut the door, close the blinds and go for it. Singing and dancing like nobody's watching, because they're not. I think the challenge is just really not upsetting the neighbours.
Isn't that great? I hope you feel encouraged, and that really made me smile hearing some of the things that people are finding really joyful about worshipping from home. But it is a challenge, and we need to learn and we need to practice. None of this stuff comes easily. We practice these things, don't we? So, as Claire said, how can we take responsibility for our own worship at home? So, just a few quick fire top tips from me. So, turn up. Turn up. We need this in a time when every day can start looking the same. We're stuck in our homes. We're looking at our computers. We can't really go very far. We can't see lots of different people. We need this. We need to set aside our Sundays as Sabbath and as a day to dedicate to God in worship. Let's do something different on a Saturday. On a Sabbath, whatever day that might be for you, probably Sunday. Let's do something different on our Sabbath, and let's, you know, really, really give it to Him. Let's pray at the beginning of the day or the night before and say, Jesus, this is for you this day. And do everything with that heart of worship, everything with that posture to God. So I want to encourage you to see this as an opportunity. It's an opportunity to engage with God. We get to enter into His presence and have a fresh revelation of His love. He is the God of the universe. That's just amazing. It blows my mind. We can be filled by His Spirit. Sounds great, doesn't it? I want to encourage you to see this as an opportunity to play your part in the gathered church. Even if you can't see people, join in, comment in the live chat, say hello. Make it known to others that you're going to be watching. You're going to be at church on Sunday morning. You might not physically see them, but you'll know that that person is there with you. And that's really special. Take joy in that connection and pray for others. Come prepared. Maybe turn off other distractions in the house. If you're not using them to help you engage in the service in some way, maybe turn off your other devices. You know, don't wander off somewhere else in the house, as someone said, to go and do the washing up. Or even, oh, this sounds mad, go to the loo before the service starts so you don't need a bathroom break in the middle of the talk or the middle of the worship. You know, come as if we were going to church. Get dressed as if you're going to church. We're turning up to worship God. Gather your whole household. Make it a family thing if you're living with others. Do it together. If you're not living with others, why don't you Zoom in with your friends or be chatting through the service online with your friends, or maybe phone someone half an hour before the service. Have that little how are you. It's great to catch up chat and then pray together on the phone. Pray that you'll be blessed as you engage in this service, and that you would worship together and that you would choose to step in. Bring your Bible, bring your candle, read along, write notes, pray. Don't just watch the person on the screen pray, but actually pray. Pray beforehand, offer that time, that hour, hour and a half, however long, to God, and pray and ask Him to meet with you, ask Him to show you new things, ask Him to change your heart. And sing along. Don't watch someone else sing. This is not worship karaoke. The worst thing I could think of is you all just sat there watching me sing. I can't stand it. And I've had to really go through a bit of a time over the last few weeks when I thought, oh my goodness, that little red dot on my camera, they're all watching me, to thinking, no, through that little red dot, I can't see, but actually I'm looking out to the worshiping church. So sing along, stand up, raise your arms, dance around, do all the things that you would normally do in church and more. If you don't know the song, or you really just don't know the music and it's not your bag, read the words and pray. You could even mute the sound for a minute if you really want, but use these worship songs. The songs that we sing are, they often tell stories of who God is, of who Jesus is, and then they often respond with our hearts to Him. They might be full of beautiful poetry and theology of who God is, or they might be really personal responses. But we can use these words. It's not just about having a good old sing song. We're worshipping God. We're worshipping the same God that we always have done, and we're still doing it together. So, as Russell said, great opportunity. Let's be less conscious of ourselves, and let's dance around and raise our voices and annoy our neighbours so they ask us what we're doing on a Sunday morning. No one else is listening to you. It's just God, and He delights in our true worship. Matt Redman is one of the modern day worship songwriters, and he says, leading worship, I'm not trying to get something going, but I'm trying to remind that there's already something going on, and we get to join in with heaven's anthem. Leading worship, I'm not trying to get something going, but reminding that there's already something going on, and we get to join in with heaven's anthem. We get to join with the angels of eternity singing, holy, 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 worthy, worthy, worthy are you, Lord. It's not for worship leaders or service leaders or preachers or whatever you want to call people to entertain you. It's for us to make a choice to join in with the worship that's been going on to the God of the ages for eternity. He is God on the throne, and we give him the praise and the honour and the glory, and we deepen our relationships in the presence of him. Perhaps the only stable thing in our lives right now is him. Let's remember that. And rather than hesitating about the singing, let's worship wholeheartedly. We're going to have a bit of a break now from all this chatting and thinking, and we're going to turn to a song of worship. And Josh is going to lead us in this really beautiful song called Hallelujah Here Below. And it would be great if you would join in with the worship we're singing. One of the lines says, you abide in the song that we sing. So let's sing this to Jesus and let's become aware of his presence. If you don't know it, the chorus is just, we sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And if you don't know the verses, do your best. Sing something else in the gaps or turn the words into a prayer. Don't check out. Don't check out in the next 3 minutes. Let's pray now before we sing. Lord, I pray now that as we sing to you in worship and reflect on these beautiful lyrics that speak truth of who you are, that you would meet with us. Warm our hearts towards you, Lord. Help us to let go and just to engage with you, our King, our God, our Father. Be with us now as we worship you, Lord, we pray. Amen.
You're an altar of broken stones, sweet to light in the offering. You have the heavens to call your home. You abide in the storm. There's an angel surround your throne to bring you praise that will never cease. But hallelujah from here below, to your favorite melody. We sing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Talk to you about right now, and that is our daily worship. The idea of worshipping daily in our normal lives, not at church on a Sunday. Now, this isn't something special for coronavirus times. This is something that I want us to be learning how to do anyway. And maybe some of you feel like you already are, you've got those rhythms. It's not a new concept, but it's not something that we're necessarily that great at practicing, is it? So this daily life, I said earlier, didn't I, that in that Chronicles passage, it said about proclaiming every day. And it says in the Lord's Prayer about giving our daily bread. And we really need to work on how we engage our faith every day of the week, especially now when every day looks the same. But even in normal times, what does our worship life look like Monday to Saturday, as well as on a Sunday if you do church on Sunday? So as a culture, I do think we've got used, haven't we, to having leaders, and sometimes without meaning to, we've almost become sort of consumers of the worship act, the worship service, rather than givers of worship from us to God. And I don't mean that in any bad way. It's, you know, if you feel sort of condemned by that, I really want you to sort of take that on board and really think about what that means. But let's not dwell on whether that's a negative thing or not right now, but let's move forward. Let's move forward out of consumer worship and into real heart posture worship to God with our whole lives. To be honest, we love worshipping with others, don't we? Maybe that's why worshipping as the gathered church on a Sunday is easier than this daily life thing. But there really is depth and intimacy that we might be missing out on if we're doing it in the quiet of our own lives, in the day-to-day busyness and the bustle of the normal tasks of life. So I really want to challenge us to use this time to learn the discipline of daily worship. Now, I might hear you say, oh my goodness me, another thing you want me to do with my days right now? So much change. Am I not busy enough? But it doesn't really need to be like that, because, you know, maybe you've got time for that real deep spiritual reformation and you want to spend hours every day in really deep prayer and reading and deepening your relationship with God. Or maybe right now it's so busy, and none of that is better or worse than others. None of that is a help or a hindrance, because remember what we spoke about, that worship is about our heart and our relationship, and we can always work on our heart and our relationship regardless of what we're doing. So I want to encourage you where you're at. I want to encourage you where you're at. How can we start to become daily worshippers? So the next question that I asked the guys was, can you share examples of ways that you like to worship? Here they are.
How I like to worship. I love listening to music. I'm very unmusical in terms of playing any instruments and stuff, but I love listening to worship music. I've got a huge Spotify playlist of worship songs that I quite often have on when I'm around the house and in the car as well while I'm driving to work. And that's really good just to get me worshipping every day and praising God. Other things I like to do is, as I'm walking, you know, my daily exercise, just going out and praying as I listen to the bird song and the animals and everything. And that's been really good. Doing a bit of creative stuff as well, and a bit of like art and meditation as well, has been really useful. So that's been good.
So how do I like to worship? Well, I like to worship any way I want to, whether it's singing, talking, playing the trumpet, whether it's just sitting down writing, perhaps my own psalm to God, but I love praising God through the psalms.
I often use scripture to lead me into a time of worship. And at this time of coronavirus, I'm finding particularly the Passion Translation has been very helpful, as it seems to speak deeply to me. But music, both sacred as well as some of the current very powerful and beautiful worship songs, helps me to enter God's presence.
Worship in our home can start really early in the morning. First thing, even before breakfast, no Bible, no breakfast, bit of Bible study. One of the busiest gadgets in the kitchen is our Bluetooth radio, bit of Spotify, bit of music in the background, and get the Bible out, and it helps draw us into the presence of God.
Jen thinks about God and worships God even while she's painting. And for those of us that play musical instruments,
sometimes it's great just to put some music on, use your musical skills to worship God right here, right now, with your gift. Yeah.
I worship while I'm in the car.
What about while you're doing some exercise?
Even just seeing beautiful things in the garden, like the flowers and the trees, the sunshine and the birds.
So I don't know if you got all of that. We're not sure if we had a bit of a technical glitch there, but there were so many brilliant ideas about ways that we can worship in our daily lives. I'm just wondering if we're still live, if we're still okay. Okay, so technical glitch. So yeah, brilliant ideas about ways in which we can worship with our daily lives, daily little habits that we can get into. There's this passage in Romans 12 in verses 1 to 2, and it's talking about this living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is and his good and pleasing and perfect will. This idea of whole life worship. We offer God everything that we have, our bodies, our minds, the renewing of our minds by him. Wow, I mean, that sounds really amazing to me. This is our true and proper worship. So let's chat about some of those ideas of daily things. So obviously, I love music. I love music and I love God. That's why I do this job. It's all worship. So when we listen to music as well, there was one of the saints, like really frustrating me right now, it's just escaped my mind, can't remember who it was, but one of the saints says that when we sing, it's like we pray twice. There is real power in music, isn't there? So to sing, to play, you know, if you're like a musician or a guitarist or something like that, grab your instrument and play along with us when we're doing the live stream. Sing along with us, dance along with us. It was brilliant to be able to hear of Tanya and her kids just making up songs to Jesus. Like that, oh, that's just amazing for me to hear. I love that. There is so much music that helps us to be connected with God. Check out our church Spotify playlist if you're looking for some guidance on that. We've got lots of different playlists, things for youth and kids and toddlers as well. If you're wanting to worship but your toddler's stuck around your ankle, it's a great way just to do it with them. The words all mean the same thing, and it's the same God that we worship. I do that with my two-year-old. How great our God is. It's the truth still. The words are just as powerful for me as they are with him. So listen to music. I'm going to be updating those playlists with more sort of background music as well, if you want some sort of background things to help you in your prayer and your sort of soaking and your presence times. And we'll put some more sort of classical, traditional hymns and that sort of things as well on there. There's all sorts of daily habits you can do. Just drop God into your daily life a little bit more. Prayers of gratitude. Wake up in the morning, the sun is switching through our curtains, isn't it? And it's just beautiful. And thank you, God, for this new day. Morning, noon and night could be a good habit. Set an alarm on your phone maybe every hour just to say thank you, God, for one thing that's happened in the last hour. Say the grace before every mealtime. Thank him for what he's done. Now, a lot of this is sort of like, oh, is this worship or is this prayer? It's all the same thing. We're doing prayers of thankfulness and prayers of adoration and praise. That is what we do in worship. So whether you're singing or whether you're speaking or whether you're drawing or making things, do all those things. Bedtime prayers with our kids. I've loved during this time, we've really honed down the habit of doing, we do teaspoon prayers with my two-year-old, so he can say thank you and sorry and please. There aren't many words that he can say, but he can say those. And we do little prayers every night before bed with him. And he goes, Amen, at the end of it. And I love it. So there are great ways that we can do things as a family together as well. One of the things lately for me has been about worshipping whilst we wash. So that sounds really strange, worshipping whilst we wash. You wash yourself every day. We wash clothes. We wash plates. So whilst we're doing the washing up. And I've had some really, this sounds nuts, but I've had some really powerful encounters with God lately whilst I have been sat on the bedroom floor sorting out the mountains of washing. So for me, my favourite go-to music right now is this new album called Peace by Bethel Music. And it's got some songs in it that we've been singing in church recently. It's got things like Goodness of God and Raise a Hallelujah. And it's really great. So Raise a Hallelujah, for an example, it talks about we're going to, you know, he's going to fight for us and you're going to hear my praises roar. And I love singing it with real sort of gusto and passion. And yes, God, I'm praising you and I'm going to roar for you. But actually, this album is really stripped back. It's really different versions of songs. And so there's real peace and calm. And in a world that doesn't feel very peaceful or very calming right now, I have found such deep connection with God through the words in those songs. And I'm hearing them in different ways. And I'm hearing different lyrics that I haven't thought about. And just if all I can do is whisper, join in. Those whispers of worship have connected me with God in such a deep, profound level in recent weeks. And yeah, so we wash ourselves, we wash our plates, we wash our clothes. I don't know, you've got to find the thing that works for you. But every day on the way to a meeting, before, you know, when the Zoom call comes in, or when you're doing that next piece of homework with the kids, or every day, find those little habits. I want to hear how you're doing it. Let's share these stories together so that we can encourage each other. Let's work out what works for us, okay? We're all slightly different, so we're all going to, and our days are going to look different. But it's about our heart, it's about posturing our lives towards Jesus, and it's about deepening our relationship with him. Let's get these habits going together in our daily lives. Charles has put together a great video for us now that just gives some great advice for families who might want to worship together, and some really handy resources that are out there for that. Thanks, guys.
So we recognise that for family, worship can feel a little bit harder to do, but here are a few suggestions for how you can engage with worship at home as a family. There's loads of content online at the moment for families to worship together. So there's Worship for Everyone, which is Nick and Becky Drake, who wrote City on a Hill, Love the Lord with All Your Hearts, All Your Mind and All Your Strength. That one, you know that one. And they do it on Facebook Live at 4 p.m. every Wednesday and Saturday, and it lasts about 40 minutes. There's songs, games, stories, very interactive and really fun. There's also Rend Collective Kids, and they do My Lighthouse, Build Your Kingdom Here, Every Giant Will Fall. Google them and subscribe to their weekly email, and there's stuff for the whole family to do. There's video craft, questions and prayer. So there's obviously stuff that we're putting out there too. So Jen's been working on Sunday sessions as well as amazing Tots Praise videos for the 0 to 5s. I've been working on home sessions to do. We've been launching this new term with relationships, about this idea of loving God, loving others and loving yourself. There's also Satellites, so there's Satellites 56 on a Wednesday, which a new video every Wednesday is uploaded for year 5 and 6s, but anyone's welcome to watch. And there's also Satellites Live in the evening, which is all about interaction and community. The whole family can take part. We play Kahoot games, and why not take part as a family and see if you can beat other families. We recognise as well that these services aren't going to be as engaging for kids as normal church and their normal groups, but there are ideas that you could do at home to help with that, so a colouring table or having craft activities to do whilst the service is being live streamed, so that you can be in the same room together and feel like you're doing church together, even if they're not necessarily engaging with the content that's live. Being excited as a family for church on a Sunday is really important too. Make sure you're watching live so that it's a family event, so that you're not watching it separately elsewhere in the house later on in the day. Make it an event, make everyone come together so that you're worshipping together in numbers rather than on your own. And the beauty of doing this thing at home is that you can dance and sing and be as silly and as fun as you want in your own house. No one's going to judge you for doing the actions. No one's going to judge you for your terrible singing. Well, your brother or sister might, but no one's going to judge you in a wider sense. And so therefore, it's a time to be freer in your worship. It's a time to be freer in your movements and in your voice. Small daily habits are really good for family worship too. Saying prayers before mealtime, or even just going around the table and giving thanks to God for something. Use the pray model that we looked at last term. Pause, rejoice, ask, yes. We did home sessions of the last three of those points, so make sure you check them out. Get creative. Create art that's based around Bible passages. Create stories that are modern retellings of Bible stories. Write songs together as a family. There's lots of ways that you can be creative in this time to do family worship. It doesn't have to be singing Hosanna 15 times around a piano. It could be more creative than that. It could be pots and pans. It could be trumpets. It could be mouth trumpets. It doesn't even need to be real trumpets. It could be anything that you want it to be. This is a time to be creative in your worship as a family together.
So that was really brilliant. Thanks, Charles. We are going to work to get that information all out on the website in the next few days. But if you want to be reminded of any of that in the meantime, just get in touch with me, ping me an email, and I will let you know all that stuff back. Or you could just re-watch it on our YouTube channel. I just remembered. Da-da. Right, so I'm really hoping that you feel encouraged. I'm really hoping that you have been reminded that our worship is to God, and God is good, and our worship is about our heart posture to Him, and our worship is about our relationship with Him. And I would really want to encourage you to work on these habits, because these habits are going to last us way past lockdown. These habits are going to last us our entire lives. And just imagine if we started daily worshipping Him, what could be happening in our world? What could be happening in our lives with Him? Oh, it's really exciting. And wouldn't it be great if at the end of all this, we look back and remember that God carried us through this time because we sought His presence and we were close to Him? I long for the day when we can return to church and worship Him together. It's going to be so joyful. We're going to have such a party. But even more, I pray that our lives would be saturated with the presence of God, that we would become people who, like Moses did, that our faces are shining from spending time in His presence, from truly worshipping Him with our whole lives. Let's just pray really quickly now. Lord God, we thank You for who You are. We praise You. We adore You. We lift Your name high. Thank You for the gift of relationship with You. And thank You that worship is in that. Thank You that worship connects us to You. Thank You that worship remedies our worry. Thank You that praise brings perspective to our lives. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to be keen to dig in deeper in worship to You, that our lives would be saturated by Your presence and Your presence alone. You would be the one that our hearts seek after. Lord, help us, we pray, in Your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.